RTL Original Podcast.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Song 2, the pod where we rather spuriously try to claim that the second track on an album is that LP's best or most important. I am Stephen Stepslow, host of this pod, and also the host of Sunny Side Up, the breakfast show on Today Radio in Luxembourg. So give us a look up, would you? We are great, a bit like Radio Luxembourg, but without the ship or legal issues. Maybe. Anyway, it has taken us until season 3 before we finally broke the emergency glass and called on the mighty Song 2 by Blur. Now, let's be honest, this is not the best Blur song, not by a long chalk. Or cheese, eh Alex? But it is the track that started off this whole silly little bit of business. With one of the most recognisable riffs and instantly shoutable hooks in the past few decades, Blur's second track, from their eponymous fifth album, is about as obvious as it gets. Even if nestled in the darker recesses of your spit and sawdust boozer, the jukebox will shimmy and shake when the coin drops in, on the fourth or fifth try, presumably. Really, Blur's self-titled album is a memorable one in its own right. One could argue that Beetlebum, the opening track, belongs on any shortlist of the finest Blur songs ever. And Look Inside America, for example, is just one of several pavement-indebted gems on the entire tracklist. The experimental approach employed here would bloom further on 1999's 13 album and generated some left turns that left fans scratching their collective noggins. But ultimately, Blur's self-titled album will always be remembered as the one that gave us Song 2, the Blur song you know, even if you don't know Blur. When Blur recorded Song 2, they initially thought of it as a bit of a ruse, something they could deploy in efforts to frighten their record label during discussions about the fifth album. Something guitarist Graham Coxon hoped would blow the flipping record label's heads off. However, once label bosses heard the cut and decided Song 2 had hit written all over it, the joke was on Blur. Blur had had a minor US hit, of course, with Girls and Boys, and their quirky coffee and TV got some MTV bumps. But Song 2 remains the only major impact the band ever made on America. And that impact was definitely major. On the back of it came airplay on rock, alternative, and even some top 40 radio stations, constant MTV circulation, licensing in countless movies, video games, TV shows, and commercials. Two VMA nominations for Sophie Muller's music video, itself a callback to Blur's earlier pop scene video. And yes, you still hear it from time to time at sporting events, used to pump up thousands of people who wouldn't know an Albarn even if he woohooed right in their stupid little faces. When talking about the tune's origins, guitarist Graham Coxon remembers it all getting started with Albarn on guitar, strumming out the beginnings of the track on an acoustic, and quite literally whistling while he worked, using his whistler in place of the identifiable woo-hoos. And as is Coxon's way, wanting to filth up anything that may sound a bit too pure, the sing-song melody was cranked up in the studio, with the gain on the guitars turned if not all the way up, then somewhere close by. By the time they finished recording the tune, the band had thought it would be funny to launch that as the lead single. Speaking to Q Magazine, bassist Alex James has a slightly alternate take on the session, being that he was working through the haze of a particularly putrid hangover. I remember having a really bad sweaty hangover that day, he said, and it was very sunny. We were at Mayfair Studios, Primrose Hill, and I'd been trying to think of a title for a TV show a friend was doing about rock wives. Then it came to me, Hits and Misses. So I thought that was my work for the day over. It sums up Song 2, really. James supports Coxon's retelling of the track's conception too. We didn't think about it at all, he continued. Graham set up two kits, Dave, Roundtree drummer and now lawyer, and Graham started playing drums at the same time with this real aggro beat. Then the chorus is two distorted basses and Damon's guide vocal. It was kind of a throwback. We'd always done brainless rocking out, though maybe it's not what we are known for. As it was played to the record label, Coxon remembered the band being in hysterics throughout the whole proceeding, assuming it would piss off the label straight-faced suits, telling produce like a pro, so let's tell the record label that we want to release it as a single, sort of scare them to death, they'll hate it. They came in and we played it to them giggling and they were like, wow, this is excellent. The final version of what fans hear on the record is also Albarn's scratch take of the number, recorded live in the room in one run-through, with the band playing along in the studio. The one element that was layered in afterwards was an additional drum loop played by Coxon, where he starts off playing the tom-toms at the beginning and then looped up until the tunes end. The band tried to add more production to the recorded version and finish it off proper, but without success. They saw this as a bit of a learning experience. Alex James says, it was the realisation you don't have to polish everything. Sometimes the thing you do first of all is when you really mean it. Producer Stephen Street told Q Magazine in March 2009 that Damon's guide vocal was pure babbling, but it worked so well that he suggested he just went with it. He just needed some reassurance that what he'd done was actually any good. Originally, Song 2 was just a working title, as the track began to enjoy airings in live performances. And there is also a bit of humour in it, referring to the fact that it was to be the second song on the record and clocked in at 2 minutes and 2 seconds. There is, though, a touch of venom to it too. Albarn was always suspicious of the US scene, and as Dylan once said, times were also a-changing in the world of rock. Lyrically, Albarn takes a swipe at the success of grunge, creating, by sort of accident, an anthem that blends in with their aesthetic and poked merciless fun at the genre.
Buy a jumbo jet. It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No.
In keeping with its target and theme, the lyrics are entirely disposable non sequiturs, made hugely popular by Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then becoming the biggest hit Blur had on that side of the Atlantic. At the 1997 MTV Music Awards, the track was nominated for Best Group Video. In the clip, directed by Sophie Muller, who had worked with Annie Lennox and No Doubt, powerful amps send the band members crashing into walls when the chorus kicks in. According to Q Magazine, the heavy noise on the song is Alex James' bass being played twice. Alex didn't know this until Street told him so years later. He couldn't remember doing it. Albarn's original version was also a third slower. It was Coxon who sped the tune up. Albarn has said in Isle of Noises by Daniel Rachel, it's definitely better the way it ended up. As soon as I hear myself doing anything I've done before, I just do something else. I go the other way, or I just go below or above. I can't bear repeating myself. As soon as I finish something, I think, that's terrible. Right, I better start again. So then, that is the concluding argument that we have, really, for Song 2 by Blur being one of the most pivotal Song 2s we've got. Not only did we take the title for our podcast from it, it also stands up as being one of the markers for what a Song 2 actually is, even if it did start off as a bit of a joke. In putting this week's episode together, we looked at the terrific video on YouTube, The Making of Song 2 with Graham Coxon, produced from Produce Like a Pro. Songfacts.com, This Is Dig.com, Genius.com, a brilliant article by Tim Kaufman on Far Out Magazine, Timeout.com, Select Magazine Archives, QMagazine.com, Louder.com, Stereo.com, and of course, Wikipedia. Thanks for having given us a listen. Please do stop by again. Drop us a star rating. 3 and up, please. We are self-aware. Drop a review also, and for for sure, go ahead and hit subscribe. Song 2 is out every Wednesday with an episode such as this one, and every Friday where some famous folk tell us what they think on the theory and about their approach to track listing. Song 2 is researched, written, recorded, voiced, edited and produced by the army of me, Stephen Stepslow, for Today Radio. Thanks for listening. Cheers.